Every day at this hour, we've been asking one big question about a quarterback room in the NFL. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Glad to have you. Some quarterback rooms more interesting than others. We'll admit it. Today, we got a doozy for you, Perloff.
Ooh, let's go.
Yeah, somebody who is just endlessly fascinating, and it leads to such bigger conversations because we can track this all the way back to his college career. EJ, why don't you tell us what's going on? Manny, hit the music.
I feel so lucky to be the quarterback.
It's the position everyone wishes they could play.
Why can't I be quarterback, huh?
Sit down and shut up.
But it's not for the faint at heart.
Quarterbacks are premium.
I think those things add up to make it quarterbacking the toughest job in sports.
Maggie and Perloff answer one big question about the quarterback.
All right, it's led to a lot of heated debate. EJ, who is taking center stage today?
Okay, so we're heading to South Beach. We're going to Miami, Tua Tagovailoa. And this one was so interesting, there's a bonus question attached to this one. So, would the Dolphins be better off with a bounce back Tua season or a tank season that would allow them to draft the top quarterback? And a bonus to that is, do you consider Tua Tagovailoa's career a success story?
There's actually a couple Dolphins out there. I might need to get out there.
This is tough. This is very, very tough. Let's take the first things first. Would the Dolphins be better off with a bounce back Tua season, or instead of tanking for Tua, tanking with Tua? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with this is over. You're never going to be fully convinced, Pearl, that Tua is going to be able to stay healthy for you. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen with Miami. It may never happen for him in his career. They paid him, which was crazy to us at the time. Even you didn't think that was a good idea, right?
Crazy seems strong. Forget you and me. I don't think the reaction was that, like, I don't think it was like, wait, everyone kind of expected them to pay $50 million for Tua.
I would have wait and see on that
one
big time.
Yeah, because of injuries. But I just think, but quality of quarterback, that I think most people were fine. Like, yeah, he's in the top 15 quarterbacks skill-wise.
Okay, but he was coming off of a season where he led the league in passing yards, but really felt like empty calories there because of, A, how the season ended, where they were in the driver's seat for the division. You always say that the Bills have this, like, red carpet to win the division. Miami was winning that division until they, you know what, bleeped the bed against Buffalo in that season finale. Paid him anyway. Has not been a good playoff quarterback when he's actually been healthy. An 0-1 playoff record. Obviously, Dolphins haven't won a playoff game since 2000, so we know that. But to me, it's time for a reset and a start over. Because here's the other part about Tua. He's also like not really shy about telling you what he thinks about the organization and about what's going on. I mean, really blew up Brian Flores after he left. So obviously there were a lot of hard feelings there that did not go well. And now taking the Tyreek Hill as to, you know, earn everybody's trust back. Tyreek Hill, if he's not, who knows what's going to happen. He's a Hall of Fame level player. His personal stuff may keep him out for a while, but if he's a Hall of Fame level player, I think people were surprised that Tua took that tact. And I think we all know that Mike McDaniel's on the hot seat. I think he'd be better off ripping the Band-Aid and starting over with a quarterback who can stay healthier.
Wait, what was the original question, EJ, about? Are they better off to tank or a bounce back season? Well, actually, Tua was pretty good last year.
But he only played in 11 games.
Yeah, bounce back in the sense that, remember they made that late playoff push, which kind of made no sense. The thing is, Dolphins fans are going to lose even more in little. They have no interest now. I think they're going to lose all interest if they go 3-14. That, again, I'm all about the process. I'm a 76ers fan, and you're right. Tanking, big picture, probably makes more sense. But at some point, can you imagine a young Dolphins fan? They're going to completely lose interest in this team if they're terrible. They clearly have enough talent to at least go 9-8. And if Tua is healthy, they'll probably be 10 or 11. So I think if you actually, in reality, in theory, it does sound like, oh, tanking makes sense. But the on boots on the ground, if you're in Miami, you would much rather have a playoff run this year because you got to stay somewhat relevant. And there's obviously talent there. You can't argue. It's just you don't think Tua is going to be healthy, and you think Tyreek Hill is probably not going to be healthy either because he's too old.
I have one other reason why I do not think that Tua is, they'd be better off resetting. Maybe if he doesn't have a great season, they get back into the draft and they get another quarterback. It's the AFC. you are going to have to play a cold weather game at some point. And listen, I don't think anyone should have been playing that Kansas City game. That was dangerous cold weather. People died. I mean, it was a terrible situation. You know, and Tua was awful in that game, barely completed 50% of his passes. But I don't think anyone should have been playing that day. But he cannot play in cold weather, or he has not been able to show that he can do that yet, because it snowed one time in Buffalo and he was like a kid on Christmas. It looked like he was looking around like, oh my gosh,
got to get a home game.
Well, that's just one. At some point, you're going to have to play in Kansas City, in Buffalo, in Cincinnati, in New England, in
Baltimore.
How
do you know you can't get home field eventually? I mean, I don't think you're going to.
All the way through home field?
Well, that's the key. I mean, that's how Miami's got to do it, probably.
I mean,
by the way, or you could go to Baltimore, where Lamar Jackson doesn't know what cold weather's like either.
He's won two MVPs, at least.
Well, again, yeah, what's he done when cold playoff games?
I think it's more of an issue. I think it's an issue for Tua. It could end up being an issue for Lamar also.
Yeah,
but it's
and
an issue.
Jared Goff, and like I know, it's a problem actually for most quarterbacks are now come from Florida, Texas, or California. They all have this issue. But honestly, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. But we're at a point where we just need to see a positive season. Like, I think it'd be really painful in Miami to watch them, because let's face it, if they do go 2-15, that means that there's no Tua, there's no Tyreek Hill. You're watching Zach Wilson throw to I have no idea who, right? Because if Hill is out there, if Hill is out there and healthy, they're not going to win two games.
Maybe I think they'd be better off long term, big picture for the franchise if they moved on from him. Now, EJ's second question, also interesting.
Yeah.
Which is, do you consider Tua's career a success?
That seems obvious to me. I mean, definitely not. I mean, Tua will be known as the quarterback who got bad concussions. Like, what's successful about that?
Well, if you go back to college, he has one of the great moments, maybe a top 10 moment in college football history, where he comes in at halftime and wins Alabama a national championship. Goes to another one, had a successful college career, although I don't think he's really remembered for being a great college quarterback. Maybe he should be. And then he had a hip injury that could have been career-ending. People are comparing it to Bo Jackson. And he still ends up being a top six pick and, you know, getting a massive contract. So,
well, you're the number five pick in the draft, I think, and you don't succeed. I think that is more important. I mean, he's not Tim Tebow, where he was a college god. He was really, really good, no doubt about it. But just his college career is not going to carry him. When he has said, when he retires from the NFL, we all know what the first line is going to be.
Injuries.
Concussions. Not just injuries.
Well, that hip, though, was a big deal.
That tightrope? But no, yeah. I mean, the guy who went in a defensive pose on national TV, that will be the lasting image of Tua. And the lasting story, too. That being said, you know, I never thought he'd come back at all. And he's come back and been pretty good since the original massive concussion. So, and he looks bigger this year. He keeps on trying to figure out a way, learning jiu-jitsu, trying to figure out a way to get by this. I think I'm not saying like he's going to all of a sudden turn around and win a Super Bowl, but I'm a little more bullish. I think I expect the Dolphins to be a little better than you do this year. I think you think that there's a good chance they could tank. The problem is that means that they had to have some injuries, because that team is too talented to be a three-win team.
I don't know. Like, tanking, it you know, implies you're doing it on purpose. I just don't know how good of a team they're going to be, and I do think their coach will be the first one fired. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You can do kind of like, you know, offensive genius who's like kind of aloof and like has some sillier press conferences and stuff when you're winning. When you're losing, McDaniel looks like he's completely lost, like up at the podium and not coming up with good answers for stuff. And
well, I mean, listen, you probably said the same thing about Nick Sirianni.
I did. I was dead wrong about that.
Right.
But he had to win the Super Bowl.
But press conferences really mean 0.0. I mean, Belichick's the worst press conference coach in the history of the league, and he's arguably the best football coach.
But you understand the difference. A Mike McDaniel press conference does not sound anything like Bill Belichick. He just doesn't have good answers for stuff. He sounds like sometimes like it's, and he's, I don't know.
The whole job thing comes down to how he does on the field.
And that hasn't been good either.
Well, it's been around.
He doesn't want a playoff game.
But what's his record? I mean, listen, here's the thing. It hasn't been good, but it's not, you know, I think he's above 500. So it's been good enough to keep your job. The question is, like, the expectations have raised. They need to make a move on it. Like, even last year, again, remember the Dolphins somehow, I don't even know how, ended up in the playoff picture, and we didn't talk about them once. They were playing for playoffs, I think, in week 17 and 18. So, again, like, they're just limbo. They're medium. I'll bet you 8-9 or 9-8's more likely.
8-9 last year. All right, so there you go. EJ, you want to put the poll question up? Has Tua Tagovailoa had a successful career? If you count college and pro, put it all together, do you consider him successful? Did win a national championship. All-time moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's a weird question, too. You're right. Like, do you talk about college or pro? Do you consider Tim Tebow having a successful career?
I actually do, because he still, like, can't walk around. Like, I think he is still so sought after, and people still draw so much inspiration from him.
Yeah, I agree, but... What if J.J. McCarthy is a total bust? Everyone's going to be like, wow, that guy had a great career because he won at Michigan.
Well, but also, how did Michigan win? Everyone's going to remember that as being a run-first team where he wasn't asked to do a lot. Tua had to come into that Alabama game and start making some huge passes.
No, but again, you can be... I mean, Ryan Leaf had an amazing, amazing college career. Nobody says, wow, that was a successful career.
No, unfortunately, I don't think Ryan flamed out in a big way.
Yeah, I don't think your college could carry you, because if you're a high draft pick, then all of a sudden that's your that's where you're being judged.
Did Reggie Bush have a successful career?
Well, how many Pro Bowls?
He had a hell of a Bills career, right, Maggie?
I don't know if he had any.
I don't remember one snap.
I mean, he did enough in the NFL. If he, at the number two overall pick, had been just a total flame out, it would have been bad. He would be called a bust.
I mean, I feel like Tua's had a more successful pro career than Reggie Bush.
How many years did Bush? I don't know. I felt like he was around a lot.
I mean, Bush played for 11 years. He has 2 1,000 yard seasons. No Pro Bowls.
He played in the NFL for 11 years. Get out of here.
He was a combo back. Like, they would line him up all over the place. So he was never like the primary guy.
I mean, I'm just trying to total him up here. Actually, I don't have to. Only 4 of these seasons he had at least 1,000 scrimmage yards.
Out of 11 years, Maggie.
Is that surprising to anyone else? He played 11 years in the pros?
Yeah. No, he was a pretty good player early on in New Orleans, but he didn't share with Deuce, right? It was McAllister, Bush. They had some success.
I don't. That's interesting. I don't consider Reggie Bush a success.
No, it wasn't a success, but it wasn't a... Nobody says Reggie Bush is an all-time draft bust, I don't think. Like Ryan Leaf.
I think they should. I'll be honest.
High bar because he won the Heisman. Yeah.
Show me a list of draft busts with Reggie Bush on it, I'd be surprised.
I mean... I know it became a random Reggie Bush conversation. I was trying to tie it to Tua, but I don't know. This guy was supposed to be one of the greatest running backs of all time. He wasn't even close to that. Scratch the surface of that.
How many rushing yards did he have in his final season?
Minus 3.
Jamarcus Russell.
It's a draft bust.
So it has to be so wildly, incredibly, like, flame out. You could also just not live up to expectations, no?
Right. But... if you were to do your top 10 draft bust and you put Reggie Bush on there, people would be like, I don't know about that. I mean, does anyone... I'm just saying, like, you were surprised he played 11 years.
Maybe he's just saying he should be on that list.
I think you're right. I think people would be like, really? But look at his stats.
Do you think people would put Tua as an all-time draft bust? I don't think so.
No. He probably made a Pro Bowl, right?
He's made one Pro Bowl.
Yeah, if you make a Pro Bowl, you're not a draft bust anymore. I mean, you might be a disappointment, but draft bust is a high bar.
But to me, like, if Tua's a disappointment, then Reggie Bush is a much bigger disappointment. He was drafted higher, and he was the worst player in the NFL.
Yeah.
I know it's a different position.
But what the question wasn't, was Tua a disappointment?
Was his career a success?
Yeah, that's a totally different question in a sense.
You think Reggie Bush's career was a success?
No, but we were factoring college. I don't think it was a total disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, Reggie Bush, Super Bowl champ.
Yes. I don't know if it's technically.
He was on that team. I just don't think people remember.
Where?
New Orleans.
Oh, my God.
888-710-4ISN.
I see an All-Pro on here. Was that for returning?
An All-Pro for who?
I see Reggie Bush. I just seen AP Rookie of the Year. He was 5th in voting.
Yeah, I don't think he actually won one.
I don't see an All-Pro, unless I'm on his Football Reference page.
Yeah, no, he came in AP Offensive Rookie of the Year, 5th place. Okay, so question there about Tua. Would Miami be better off with a bounce-back season from Tua or a terrible season from Tua, and then they would move on? You're also welcome to weigh in on, do you consider his career to be a successful one? 888-710-4ISN. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got our championship has been set in the Maggie and Perloff greatest sports nickname of all time. Who made the final two? I'll tell you next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. Sometimes it feels like we can't have good things because of injuries this time of year. Mm. First of all, I get it. It's too hot to be out there running around playing football. I'm amazed that everybody's not getting hurt. But the one that really bugged us, I think, Maggie's down in Florida, DJ Lagway walking around in a boot with a lower leg injury. What's the latest and what impact will this have? Because the hype there was huge.
Yeah, so it looks like it's a calf strain, which is a bummer because the calves are tricky. It's almost like hamstrings, but I think the calf in some ways is even a little bit more unpredictable. No timetable, according to Billy Napier, on when he's going to return. Also a little bit, you know, I would say alarming, but suspect. It's not time for full panic, but it's just the latest injury for DJ Lagway, who is the obviously very highly touted sophomore, missed the spring with a shoulder injury, underwent surgery for sports hernia. He's kind of had these other things where he, you know, has had to overcome early in his career. Now he's in a boot with a calf strain. Like, yikes.
He's a funny one, too, because I don't think people understand how big he is. He's listed at 241. He's listed at 6'2", 241. And honestly, I think he might be even bigger than 241. You would think that body would hold up well. I'm not sure. Like, so that's like Dante Culpepper size, who also got hurt. But I guess it's not, that doesn't help at all. You know, I would think if there's any sturdy quarterback in college football, it would be DJ Lagway. But he was hurt a bunch of times. Last year he got hurt.
The shoulder may eventually need surgery. Like, they're not ruling that out. So he's kind of letting it ride a little bit with a shoulder that's not 100%. But now this is a new thing.
Well, he missed last year with a hamstring. That was so. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. This is not good because I think I've said this before. He would be the number one pick. I think he could even be the number one pick over Arch next year. If you look at it, first of all, he can run like crazy, but the ball comes out like a pro quarterback already. He's 19.
He went 6-1 in games that he started as a freshman in 2024. This is a bummer. And also the way that, you know, Florida, their schedule sets up, this is tough schedule.
Hardest schedule in the country, aren't they? 2 years in a row.
You know, I thought technically, as far as SEC teams are concerned, I thought actually Vanderbilt had the hardest schedule. But
I'd heard somewhere that Florida keeps getting. I guess when you do that discussion, you probably don't even count Vanderbilt usually.
So you start off at Long Island University.
Listen,
the fact they have a football team,
the Sharks.
Is surprising.
I was about to say, does anyone know their nickname?
Is not like telling us about something.
What's the spread for that game?
LIU Sharks,
a gajillion, and then South Florida, and then you're at LSU, at Miami, and then you play Texas.
Come on, man.
At Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Georgia, of course, at Kentucky, at Ole Miss, Tennessee, and of course, end the season with Florida State.
Yikes.
Not an easy schedule.
No, that's not good. I don't really count, I don't even care about Florida as a team. Easy for me to say. I'm not a Gator fan. I feel like this is more about Lagway. You know, like, this season to me is not about winning a title. It's about being respectable under Billy Napier. The other thing too is everyone knows, right? If Napier goes, Lagway goes, right? So they kept Napier around because Lagway loves him. So if this season goes bad, then does he transfer? That's the other issue.
Well, if it's his own injuries though, and he feels like the university is treating him right and the medical staff is good and all of that, then he can't blame it on the university.
But if they're bad and he's hurt, they're going to fire Napier. There's no doubt about it.
Well,
I mean, he should have been fired last year.
Or does this give Napier kind of a reprieve? Like, if Lagway's out for a lot of the season, what's he supposed to do? You know,
I feel like he already got his reprieve. I'm not inside, but all the headlines are like Billy Napier is desperate. Like, if he does not at least be top 20 this year, then he's gone. So I think that's the other issue here. Like, they could lose Lagway. Florida, he could easily go in the transfer portal, try and redo his NIL deal. So there's a lot at stake here for Lagway. It doesn't feel weird too, by the way. I know the Florida Gators just won in basketball. Like, Florida doesn't feel like the kind of team that can win a national title, right? Like in my head, I'm thinking like, who are the contenders? It's always Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, maybe Texas now. Like Florida used to be the powerhouse, like the powerhouse.
I know.
And now I feel like, wow, wouldn't that be those pesky little Gators made a run? Like in your head, do you think Florida Gators could win the title this year?
I don't see them as the pesky underdog, if that's what you're asking me. It's still Florida, a rich football history, and they have one of the top quarterbacks in the entire sport, even if he's hurt. I can't look at you as like, you know, David here going up against the Goliaths. I know they haven't had the type of success that maybe we were used to under Urban Meyer, but still, they're not, you know, little sisters of the poor Florida. So no,
they haven't had a double digit winning season since 2019. They've been 8-4, 6-7, 6-7, 5-7, 8-5. It's pretty little sisters of the poor on paper.
So that three game stretch, LSU, Miami, and then a bye week, and then Texas, that will probably determine the season. So hopefully Lagway is healthy for that. 888-710-4ISN. Andrew Bogish has the latest. You're not going to do the sex toy thing every hour?
Fair question, Maggie. You asked, and I am to please. So here we go. Here's Golden State's
so does that toy.
Tiffany Hayes asked about, yes, a neon green adult toy being thrown on the court during last night's Valkyries Dream game in Atlanta.
Do you know what it was? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, one of our players almost got hit with it, so that's very deep. Yeah. They persevered.
Yeah, everyone's having a lot of fun with this, which I think is the right tact. It still is a little, it's definitely a different vibe to do this at a women's sporting event than at a Bills game.
It is a different vibe, but I feel like it is almost safe to assume that it's just the normal, let me throw this on the court / field. Like, because this happens.
It didn't feel misogynistic, saying?
Wait, because it happens at almost every Bills game. It's happened at many other places where men are playing. Like, it just, the bit is to throw this on the court.
Right.
It's not a message. It's just like, this is going to be funny when it's on TV and somebody has to pick it up. Yeah. I hope that's all this was.
I think so. Wait, does everyone do this at every Bills game? No, just the ones at Tom Brady.
But it's happened, right? Like that, and the point is we're just throwing this on the field,
you know,
or
does
the
this,
court.
You know how like when streakers, go you Bills. Know, happen, they don't put them on TV anymore.
Yeah, that hasn't worked well.
Right, people are still streaking, but they don't put them on TV, Pearl, because they don't want copycats, right? They don't want to encourage people to do this. Do we have to get to a point where you're not showing this on television because you want to discourage people because... I didn't see this one, but from the Bills games, like it's definitely on TV.
Yeah, I mean, that would be an awkward meeting between the networks and
the league, safe to say this sex toy thing has really penetrated the sport.
Yeah, and then you know it's funny when they're not showing the streaker. Yeah, it's a good one. Showing the streaker, the people in the broadcast booth have an awkward conversation around this, trying to pretend.
Like
meanwhile, you see the crowd going nuts about something. They're like, well, that was a really good block on that play. We all know, like, everyone wants to see the streaker. Can we admit that? I'm not above admitting. Like, I want to see the streaker.
And no one has stopped streaking.
Yeah.
There's been no notable decline in streaking because we're not mentioning or showing it on TV.
I feel like when I was a kid around the Morgana, the Kissing Bandit stage, like, everybody was coming onto the field all the time.
Oh,
naked?
No, but they would come onto the field.
Like Hank Aaron's, you know, record-breaking home runs. Craig Sager, like young Craig Sager and somebody else.
Craig Sager was
No, clothes. There were two fans who were running with Hank Aaron. Craig Sager was waiting at the end to interview him.
Oh, I thought Craig was one of the guys.
No, that was, as far as I know, that was not Craig. Craig had to interview him.
People used to run onto the field all the time. It has been better, but as far as the streakers, there was a guy.
That was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
was a guy who at the Olympics... Didn't he put the rubber chicken to cover himself up?
It is brought to you by the new crispy tenders at CarMax.
You guys can Google that one.
No. Wait,
but by the way, I'm sorry. Even if you keep your clothes on, they try not to show you, right?
Yeah. No. And they also throw you in jail now.
Yeah.
Like, I think they punish you more severely. That would be my guess for the real deterrent, not like, oh, they didn't show me on TV.
I think a game changer was when Monica Seles got stabbed.
Oh, well.
Then people started to get really sensitive around getting onto the field. But yeah, as a kid, as I recall, everyone you said was free-flowing, just run out of the field.
I mean, I remember when one of the most famous Yankee images that I remember growing up was Reggie Jackson trucking a couple of people running off the off the field in the World Series after they won.
Yeah, people used to just flood. Okay, so crazy. Yes. Pinerolo,
like Derrick Henry.
Italy. There was a streaker during the men's curling bronze medal match Friday at the Winter Olympics. A man wearing what appeared to be a strategically placed rubber chicken ran onto one of the covered sheets of ice not being used in the arena. He danced around for a bit, but never tried to approach any of the players.
Bogus.
A couple security officials in the venue hovered near the streaker for several seconds before finally covering him and leading him away.
That's an awkward few moments.
Curling, though?
Yeah.
One of my favorite things is when a streaker goes out there and he just gets absolutely absolutely destroyed by a security guard or even a player sometimes.
I know.
Which is especially those football players, they'll just lay a forearm and the person just collapses to the floor. I'm like, that's what your ass get for getting on the field.
That's kind of what I think is most closely to like the Roman Colosseum days.
Yeah, sure.
People are just like, oh, that guy just got killed. Yeah.
He's
got no pads on, though.
They should bring back Pros versus Joes.
That was a good show.
Like, bring that back. Because everyone talks about these athletes all crazy, and they want to get on the field and thinking nothing's going to happen to them. Let them go and have to block Michael Parsons a couple times to see what happens.
A little Spike TV action.
Was Tiki ever on that show?
That's a good question.
I got to look.
Tiki was on...
something else.
Like a version of American Ninja Warrior. It was It had Beast in the title. My kids loved it, actually.
Okay. Yeah, Ultimate Beastmaster.
Yes, Tiki was on that.
I'm on the Wikipedia page for Pros versus Joes. Goldberg, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Matt Williams, Wild Thing. Dennis Rodman, Jim McMahon, Jerry Rice.
Whatever happened to that Dennis Rodman?
I remember the Dennis Rodman episode. I watched that one. That one was good. It was just trying to get rebound on Dennis Rodman.
Sorry, I said Matt Williams. Mitch Williams was Wild Thing. Excuse me. Muggsy Bogues, Jenny Finch, Bo Jackson. Bill Romanowski was on this.
Bo Jackson? I thought he couldn't run anymore.
I don't know. Dave Stewart. Xavier McDaniel. Be careful.
Whoa.
What?
That wasn't a basketball matchup. That was just a fight. It was like, can you fight Xavier McDaniel?
Apparently, Herschel Walker was on here.
Yeah, I think Herschel just did. There's another one where they drop you with Navy SEALs. I think he was in that recently.
Oh, that
was
right?
A new show. Yeah. There was I want to say one of the Bella twins might have been on that too. That one looks gnarly.
I don't know if Herschel was on that, but he does a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's a Fox show where like these, and there's a couple of Disney
Carly
stars on
Lloyd
there.
Carly Lloyd did it, the soccer player.
Yeah, and I'm like, you couldn't pay me anything in the world to do that. That looks brutal.
Oh, they drop out of a helicopter.
I think T.O. was in the show. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, I'm good.
These people are competitive. All right, folks, back to you.
I don't think I mentioned the Valkyries won this game after the incident, 77-75. Just basketball during the Aces, 89-74 win over the Sparks. Asia Wilson scored 34, while Jackie Young had a triple-double, 18 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists. And the Mystics sent the Sky to their sixth loss in a row, 103-86. Chicago losing again, despite Angel Reese returning from a two-game absence with a back issue. She had 22 points and 13 boards. This has happened before, but it's always cool. Veteran reliever Sir Anthony Dominguez was traded from the Orioles to the Blue Jays between games of their doubleheader yesterday in Baltimore.
It's been kind of crazy because I wake up today and come to play for the Orioles, and after the first game I was sitting there hanging out with the guys, and they called me and they told me, hey, we got you traded, go to the next dugout.
So he gets traded. There's video of him walking from clubhouse to clubhouse. And then he makes his Toronto debut against the guys who were just his teammates in the nightcap.
I just try to don't think, like I said before, I don't think about. Just try to go out and do my best.
He struck out two in his one inning, but the Jays lost the game 3-2 after losing 16-4 in the afternoon.
Yikes.
So Toronto's now dropped four straight overall. Their AL East lead in the Yankees is down to four games, because the Bombers beat the Rays last night 7-5.
He sounded kind of like down about this. He should be happy. Just gained 12 and a half games in the standings in one afternoon.
He just went from last to first in the AL East.
He should be happier. I mean, I'm sure it's a shock, but...
Yeah, you got to move your family probably. Or maybe he won't move his family. Maybe he's just moving himself. But it's other stuff that goes into getting traded.
I don't know. Baltimore to Toronto, it's not like you're cross... I mean, you're in a literally different country.
Actually,
but I'm thinking more
left to right.
Country. Yeah, like horizontal.
Yeah, changing time zones.
Yeah.
You actually... I don't know, that's funny. Baltimore's right. It's not like you're crossing the country.
You know what I meant. Like an East Coast to West Coast.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. You're going to a new country. I think Toronto is a... That is a big move for pro athletes. You hear them talk about that. Like, that's not that simple.
I love Toronto.
I love Toronto too, but I mean, It's a lot different, especially if you're not from anywhere near there, to go to Toronto.
But yeah, but you've been playing in the AL East. Like, you've been there so many times now.
Yeah, it's annoying to live in Toronto, I'm sure. Right? Like,
well, just having to go through customs and stuff all the time. But
this couldn't have come to a shock to him. I mean, the Orioles are in last place.
Yeah,
they
stink.
He's a decent reliever. I'm pretty sure they had let him know 2 days earlier, hey, we're going to be selling, so, you know, get ready to pack up your stuff.
I bet he had no idea, but even still, you're a professional athlete. You know at any time it can come for you.
I think the prospects probably are blindsided more than the guys who are on the MLB roster.
Maybe. Bogues, what else?
The Padres dropped the Mets last night 7-1. San Diego scoring 5 in the 7th, highlighted by a Manny Machado 3-run homer. Andrew Vaughn, a grand slam, 6 RBI total in the Brewers' 9-3 win over the Cubs. Milwaukee now leads Chicago by 2 games atop the NL Central. And the Braves beat the Royals 9-6, but Ronald Acuna Jr. headed to the IL with right Achilles tightness. He missed most of last season with a torn ACL. Trey Hendrickson reportedly ending his holdout this morning, but without an extension with the Bengals. Maybe this is a sign they're getting close. The amount of guaranteed money is apparently their holdout. Or hold up, I should say. And a fresh report this morning says Ravens tight end Isaiah Lively suffered a small foot fracture during practice yesterday. The team initially called it a rolled ankle. Either way, it's possible he's back in time for week 1. Guys, back to you.
That's good. That's annoying, by the way, because whatever you're doing, trying to bet the Ravens, you don't know if it's going to be an Andrews game or a Likely game. You never, ever know. So
that's true.
Now he's going to be like kind of half playing. I don't know what this is going to mean for my over-unders.
We have a little time to decide on that. Can I just, I'm now deep into the Pros versus Joe's Wikipedia page.
Go
so this
ahead.
This oh, lasted for a few seasons,
yeah.
According to Wikipedia, which is not always right. This at one point was a team of 3 different athletes just paired together on this Pros versus Joe's.
Oh, I can't wait.
Ricky Williams, the late Arturo Gatti, and Charles Oakley.
Can I ask a question that I know, EJ? Why is Charles Oakley on my TV 24 hours a day right now?
He's a chef. Is he doing cooking things?
Is he a real housewife?
Yes. Oh, no, his wife is on Housewives.
Oh, my
really?
God. He is everywhere right now. And he's like done a lot of press for that,
yes,
too.
Yes, and according to Andrea and her friend who watches Housewives, he is also a lunatic on that show as well. So.
Well, I mean, you could take Charles Oakley, like... We can put him on TV. He's still going to be the same guy.
Wait, no, I just learned Charles Oakley is a chef?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a chef. And he's a really good one, apparently. Like a legit chef.
Our friend John Wertheim did a whole story about him for Sports Illustrated.
We need a reality show on this guy.
We are the New York Knicks.
He's on The Real Housewives?
Yeah, his wife is on The Real Housewives.
Which one? Atlanta?
I think
Maryland?
It's Atlanta. I think it's Atlanta.
Like, which wife?
It's Atlanta. I mean, I got to be honest. I watched the whole thing.
Atlanta. You did? Okay.
Yeah. No, yeah, Oakley's amazing.
Is he unhinged?
He will confront any woman on that panel in 2 seconds. I just like, well, yeah,
he's like at the reunion,
but he's really loose. Like, he's like, he'll just dive right in there. I thought he used to be kind of quiet. What was I, you know, he used to be, now he's very outspoken. He reminds me of, am I crazy? Back as a player, like, you couldn't get him to say that many words. Now he will not shut up.
Yeah, he didn't say much. He did a lot. It was like he'll fight Barkley in a bar, and he'll fight a guy on the court. But, like, he wasn't really a talker, I don't think.
Right, he was on the team with Larry Johnson, who absolutely would not shut up.
Yeah.
But now Oakley's like George Foreman. He is getting really out there.
Anyway. I mean, he's kind of a funny personality. Like, he's definitely maybe not everybody's cup of tea, but he has a lot to say.
Apparently. Got a lot in common with you too, Meg.
Yeah, no, me and Charles, I was...
Gigantic feet?
Well, that's the icebreaker conversation starter. We're also both have a dicey relationship with Knicks owner James Dolan. Mm. This is what apparently he said at the... I'll stand with Charles on this one. Judge me by my enemies. Everyone wants to know about me, but what about y'all? He asked the group. I'm the only husband here. Where are your husbands at? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, man.
Fair question.
Step to a bunch of middle-aged women? Careful.
Oak does not care.
Once a Nick, always a Nick, baby. Woo!
If that doesn't work, you can go to the show that I was watching this weekend. That's Carlos Boozer, Tyson Beckford, and another dude in a house with 21 women going after them.
Titus O'Neil from WWE.
I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah,
he's a big dude, though.
Yeah.
Carlos Boozer. What a catch.
Yeah. Well, he used to play at Tyson when he was playing in Florida as a football player, too.
You think that Carlos Boozer is a bigger catch than Tyson Beckford? He's a famous male model.
Well, how old is Beckford now?
He's not old enough
to
be a catch.
Carlos Boozer's a catch.
I'm
because
interested.
He is the nicest, coolest guy ever. He's Alaskan, right? Like, he's He is so chill. Is it his kid, like, the number one recruit now?
Twins.
Two of them. Yeah. I feel it. Carlos Boozer is awesome. Is he divorced, I imagine?
Wait, I'm sorry. The premise of the show is they're all in a house?
It's called, I think, King's Court, and the three of them are in a house, and they just keep... It started with, I think, seven women, and they brought in seven more, and there's another batch coming, and then it becomes like, okay, I'm going to date you, we're going to go on a date, we're going to hang out.
But they all live at the home
together?
They're
all living together.
Wow, being a dude rocks.
Yeah, I want to check this out. I keep seeing the commercials, and I'm like, I got to find a way to
get Andre to watch this. For Tyson Beckford to land a date.
That's the question.
Life.
Why does Tyson Beckford need the help of Bravo to find a lady?
It's on Bravo?
I think it's like a Bachelor model. Like, it's not that you need to help, but like you have a really good-looking bachelor. Like, he obviously can get a date.
Can he?
But it's true love, folks.
Oh, that's what it is.
Right. Yeah, it's not
does it end with a proposal?
Yeah, so they can all get a date. That's not what we're doing here. We're finding true love.
Yeah.
Also for our entertainment, folks. Come on.
How's Carlos Boozer's hair looking in that?
He has none. Beard's on point, though.
He hasn't had hair in years.
The beard is crazy.
I don't even think he had hair at Duke.
Well, I mean, don't you remember the spray tan look that he had or the sprayed hair that he had?
Yeah, the Beijing.
Boozer did that?
Oh, yes.
Baby. What was that?
It basically was Rudy was Giuliani. Like it was, that was dripping down the side of his.
Oh, him telling the story of that is one of my favorite podcast stories ever.
I'm looking at Boozer now, yeah. I would rather date Carlos Boozer just to hear the Coach K stories. Like, what is Tyson Beckford going to tell you about?
You would rather date Carlos Boozer?
I think he's a more interesting prospect.
To ask him about Coach K stories.
Yeah, I mean, also,
what a romantic night.
Also, if you've heard one Coach K story, haven't you heard them all?
I don't know. He was there from 99 to 2002. That was prime Duke years. There's a lot going on.
What are you going to tell me about Coach K, please?
We messed up in practice, and then he cursed at us for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Until his face turned purple.
Greg Paulus.
Yeah, I think it...
Say
what
it
was
slowly.
He like behind the scene?
Greg. Well, I mean, you go to Greg Paulus. He played with a bunch of superstars.
What was Mike Dunleavy like?
Oof. Anyway. Wait, you guys want to talk to Tyson Beckford? What are you going to talk to him about?
How do you get 8-pack abs?
What?
Tell me how do you get 8-pack abs? Give me your ab workout immediately.
Carlos Boozer is a superior physical human being. Trust me, he's better looking than anyone we know, too.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, in real life, oh my God.
Yeah, in regular life, sure, but not in a house with Tyson Beckford. He is a distant second. I say that very confidently.
Not into Tyson Beckford.
What?
Got a pretty boy.
Not into fine wine.
By the way, Carlos Boozer, this color of black does not exist. What are you putting in your beard, bro?
Neither does the density.
No, that too. What is going on?
Also, where is kids going? Duke?
Duke, yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, right?
Yeah, the freshman.
Flag leaves, Boozer twins come in,
mm-hmm.
The shelf just gets restocked.
888-710-4ISN.
That's where we got to leave it. Bogish, thank you so much. Coming up, we do have an answer to the question, who will be the NFL and college football's worst team this year? Do that next. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Picking Super Bowl winners, picking college football playoff finalists, Pearl. That's easy. Well, you know, that's fun. But it's also fun to think about who's going to be dead last.
Oh, okay.
Today we are doing the NFL and college football superlatives. Who will be the worst team in both the NFL and college? Now, college, you feel a little bad about this. You know, we're not trying to like call out any kids or anything like that. But we're just going to do the Power Four conferences. And who do we think is going to be, who's going to be dead last? So, do you want to do NFL first?
Yeah, let's do NFL first. This is kind of based on a caller yesterday who we didn't get to, who wanted to ask, do you think the Saints are going to be the worst team in the NFL? And my answer is, yeah, I do.
Mm.
I saw Spencer Rattler put on 20 pounds of muscle. It looks amazing in camp. Spencer Rattler always looks good in shorts. I don't see any scenario where this team is good because they have some players that are like Alvin Kamara and Cameron Jordan, who are great, but they're older and they've been getting hurt a lot lately. So I feel like the injuries are going to start to pile up and then it's just going to really focus on next year's draft. Tyler Shuck, second round pick. Usually second round picks don't work out. We'll see if he even wins a job. I just don't see the scenario where the Saints get it all going in the right direction this year.
So I think the Saints also could be the worst team in the NFL. I think odds will tell you they are, but they are playing in a division where there are some winnable games, right? So if I were to pick who I think could be the worst team in the NFL, I got to go with the Browns. You know, unfortunately, they've been hit a little bit by the injury bug. The quarterback situation is completely up in the air, and their schedule is brutal. Can I tell you what the Browns' schedule is? They open the season against Cincinnati, then at Baltimore, Green Bay, at Detroit, Minnesota, yep. That's in Europe, at Pittsburgh, Miami, at New England, at the Jets, Baltimore, at Vegas, San Francisco, Tennessee, Chicago, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati to end the season.
Yep.
I mean, okay, you want to say maybe like against the Dolphins?
All those AFC North teams tough randomly.
Are you sure that you're winning at New England? Are you sure you're winning at the Jets? Like, I'm not necessarily sure who's favored in those games. So,
If you're not winning there, where are you going to win?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think the Browns have the possibility of being the worst team in the NFL. And then, you know, they'll set up to have the number one pick, and we'll see who decides to declare out of college, Arch Manning does or not.
The only thing about the Browns is that there's so much hot seat energy going on, and they paid Myles Garrett all this money that they're a little more motivated to win than, say, New Orleans. Like, what's New Orleans winning for?
New coach, new blood.
Yeah, I just feel like Stefanski's got to be desperate. Like, you see it how it's working on a training camp. Like, he won't let those rookies get a snap. I mean, Dylan Gabriel's getting a couple, but basically he's like, I think there's going to be push and pull with probably ownership and the coaching staff. The coach, ownership's like, give me the rookie. This is going to happen. And Stefanski's like, I'm coaching for my job. I'm sending out Joe Flacco. So I wonder if they can pull out some wins out of that formula.
I don't know. I'm sure he was probably desperate for wins last year, too, and they ended up with, you know, 3 wins, 4, whatever. So they've had 3 guys already arrested on domestic violence stuff. They've got this weird Deshaun thing. I don't think anything's going to go right here for Cleveland. I'm fading them big time. I think they could be the worst team in the NFL. Okay, not to, like, again, we're not trying to denigrate college kids. We understand that they're younger, they're kids, but I have a pick.
Yeah,
for who I think
can you
could
start
be.
This out? Because I'm still finalizing my choice here.
Well, I think it could be Mississippi State, you know, and that's not going to be like a hot take. They were winless in the SEC last year, and their schedule this upcoming season is really, really hard. By strength of schedule, they have the second hardest strength of schedule of any team in the SEC. Vanderbilt is number one and Mississippi State is number two. So you don't even get like a little bit of a reprieve, you know, by having this really, you know, tough season for Coach Jeff Levy. And I think they could be the worst Power Four team.
So I have a question. How can they be as bad as last year? Like, this is like a major-ish program. Like, what's going on there?
Well, they're just bad. I mean, they face 4 college football playoff teams from a year ago. That's the highest total in the country. They have to travel to Florida, Texas A&M. They also play Mizzou. I mean, maybe the roster is a little bit more talented than last year, but also the schedule is so much tougher.
Yeah, but okay. I just like, it feels weird that they would be this bad for a sustained period of success. So I always think of like, who are the bad teams. And I'm sorry, like I admit, I did not really do my homework on this one, but I always go to the bottom of the ACC. I always feel like if you need, you know, look at the bad teams in the ACC are always like really bad at football. Like Wake Forest, I feel like Cal and Stanford, like one of them is going to be bad this year. Like, don't you feel like the ACC is so top heavy that the bottom teams there would get killed in the SEC? Like Mississippi State, if you put them in the ACC, would they be worse than Stanford was last year or Wake Forest or, I mean, usually Virginia is like that good. Like, I feel like Mississippi State would be fine in the ACC.
Can I ask a trivia question as we go to break?
Yeah.
Does anyone remember who the head coach of Stanford football is right now?
David Shaw.
Andrew Luck.
The head coach.
I know, I'm kidding. Oh. I don't know.
3, 2, 1. It's Frank Reich, everybody.
Get out of here.
It is.
Oh.
Handpicked by their general manager, Andrew Luck. All right, coming up next, baseball trade deadlines tomorrow.